I just wasn't able to fully, spread a little bit of a difficult angle, on the aerial presentation, the setback of the fourth and fifth floor, I just wasn't able to.
So the setback. What we did was, we dropped, the third and fourth floor, the third and fourth floor have seven suites in it. We removed one of them, which gave us the flexibility to cut this corner of the building out. And these two floors have six units as opposed to seven. And that, again, freed us up so that we could bring the scale of the building down to three stories as it had the residential level.
And the setback starts at the fourth floor, at the.
It is the floor of the fourth floor, yes. So the setback is the same for both the, fourth and fifth floor. The fifth has an additional quick setback here, which doesn't occur on the fourth floor. But essentially, they're very, very similar.
And that setback is primarily contained on the south and west?
That is correct, and they're toward the residential neighborhood.
What about, has there been a, quite a concern about the access to this building? Having more than one car, you know, two or three, four cars, whatever, coming at the same time, might very well cause some traffic issues here.
We're talking about 26 suites. So presumably a turnover, not even every day, because some guests will be staying longer than that. The likelihood of two or three guests arriving or leaving at the same time is reasonable. The likelihood of five or six or 10 or a larger number is unlikely. Of all use groups of a building, when we do traffic studies, when my consultants do traffic studies, a hotel such as this is so much less than a retail or a restaurant or even commercial space in terms of turnovers, trips, they call, per square foot of building, that I think the impact of traffic of this will be negligible. The planning board, most planning boards anyways, have the right to request a traffic study where they feel that it may be a marginal case. But the people I've talked to and past experience tells me that the amount of traffic that this generates will be far less than practically any other use on the site.
I think the concern is more with the actual access, blocking, you know, blocking this, the street, you know, backing up, let's say, to Rock City or whatever, than it is the actual traffic itself.
Well, fortunately, because of the corner location, we really have two ways to access the building. We reduced what we're proposing as a paved area, and I just want to be clear about the paved area. It was my idea because I thought it would be an amenity that would be appropriate to put on this building in conjunction with the pavers which the city requires for the sidewalks. So I wanted to make it a more pedestrian feel, but it's the same elevation as the asphalt. It has the same use, namely parking. I'm on the other side now. So there's one or two spaces there that could be used for this building in conjunction with the coffee roasters. There's three or four spaces along the Pleasant Street side, which I also would expect on occasion would be used. What we talked about is asking for a restricted parking period for at least two of those spaces, possibly one on Pleasant Street and one on Main Street. It might be for 10 minutes, just so that the building wasn't blocked in by long-term parkers.
And that would be something you would have to obtain from the city council.
That's my understanding, yes.
Also, with the valet system, somebody asked the question of how that will work. If you have three or four cars there, and one valet driving cars to the parking lot and then walking back, and you know, it may take some time to
you know, to move those cars.
I would suggest, I think Jesse Henry, who's the hotel consultant, is here and planning to speak, and it might be great to have him respond to that. I know that there are also a number of similar types of hotels in Camden in the downtown area that seem to have been able to deal with this successfully, so he may be able to mention that too.
Okay, because I have no idea how they've done it.
I should have the same concerns that the chairman does on that. You really only have one space on South Main Street. The other space is right in front of Rock City Roasters. And my fear is that you're going to be taking the space for the business. The one space that's in front of Rock City Roaster, you're going to be wanting to take if there's more than one car there. I don't see any more than one space available in front of your building on Main Street. There's a half a space by the corner.
Yeah, I think it is a half. I think you're absolutely correct. And that's why we cut it back. But again, we have Pleasant Street, and we do have another door to the lobby on Pleasant Street.
Will that interfere with traffic or people who are going into
the public area?
It's a question.
Will that interfere with traffic when people are going into making a right mm-hmm. onto Pleasant Street and heading west? Will those parking and those cars interfere with that traffic?
Well, if people park the way this guy in the red car did, which is he's going backwards. So, this is an urban environment, and whether it be 4, 5, 6 stories, I think the issue is the same. Somehow, in compact urban settings, the traffic, particularly with Valley Park, seems to work itself out. And again, I think Pam's suggestion of looking at the precedent in neighboring cities, how they've worked it, I think, in similar kind of traffic situations. Is a good way to take a look at it.
In the scenario that Mr. McCaffrey comes down and asks the desk to say, I want to have my car, I'm going to be leaving in 10 minutes. And obviously the car's going to want to be there, so they're not waiting there too long. And then another person comes down and says that they want their car in another 5 minutes. So now you have two cars sitting in front of that building that arrived early, just hopefully to be efficient and professional. What happens to that space? You take that one space that's available to Rock City Roaster away? I mean, where do these cars, you know, if you're trying to get two or three cars waiting to be efficient, where do they go?
With the exception of the intensity of the Lobster Festival weekend, my experience is that across the street or even half a block away, there's usually a space. I mean, I can't say that'll happen 10 years from now or 20 years from now with additional development. But right now, it seems to me, again, compared to similar situations in other cities, that the parking, valet parking dynamic should work on this site.
Well, you might have two or three people running their cars or unloading at the same time. Someone comes to the hotel, you have a car sitting there. Another person wants their car, so they want it in 5 or 10 minutes. So you're going to bring that around, hopefully you have it there before they come down. So that's two cars. And then you have another person maybe unloading, another person saying they want to move their cars. It could be two or three or four cars right there. And so it could build up quick.
Can I ask,
could
the person who's running the hotel come up maybe directly answer your question?
Who is that mysterious person here?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I spell here?
Yeah, you can go there, sure. But just state your name and you've got to turn it on.
Oops. So I'm Jesse Henry, Monica's Hotel Group. We've been doing some work with the Lyman's on this project in terms of operational concerns. So in terms of valet parking, as has been mentioned, there are thousands of hotels in the country, tens of thousands of hotels that are sited in urban areas, and so have the practice of valet parking all the time. So there can be some sticky times, to your point. This exists all along Main Street for all kinds of businesses that don't have valet parking. So I think with a couple of good trained staff that can react to a time when a couple of things happen all at once, and they've got a couple of spaces that they know about in their back pocket around. I don't think it's a huge issue to have a couple of things happening at once. In our experience, we are managing 5 hotels in the state. We've got a number of situations that employ valet parking, busy times, functions that are happening. These at hotels that are much more intensive in terms of size and operations than this. This is a very simple hotel, kind of a bed and breakfast in terms of events and anticipated number of cars and trips to and from it.
So our one space in front of the building, the half again in the corner, and then 2 or 3 on Pleasant Street should be sufficient.
To handle the occasional scenario that you painted quite nicely, a couple of things happening at once. Yeah. But that would be more of a fall under exception rather than rule, in our experience.
So would there be a valet available at all times?
Yes.
24/7?
Yep.
One on each side, one in the parking lot, one in the hotel, two, or just one?
It depends. You probably have a couple of cross-trained folks within the operation that can do both, depending on need and the experience and seeing what's happening. I mean, obviously, this is an operational concern that would be managed just by making sure that there's hot breakfast available in the morning and all the other
just like
management it. Operational pieces that go with operating a professional hotel. You're welcome.
Any other questions?
I'd just like to ask John first. John, could you pinpoint to me where the first public street parking space is on Pleasant Street? Is it in front of Mr. Daly's?
I was just informed by the city attorney that there is no parking 55 feet west of Main Street on Pleasant.
Only standing? Only standing, unloading, reloading?
No parking.
So is there a time limit or?
There's no parking. We can't stop.
No parking.
So we can't park on Pleasant Street at all?
Well, 55 feet.
Where Kyle and I come from, you had something called standing. So
double parking.
As long as somebody was in the car, standing was allowed, but not.
But I couldn't park.
But I've never seen it here in Maine.